Blog Talk Radio.
Mode 1.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
No one who has been married wants to experience the emotional and financial challenges of going through a divorce, especially if you have children. With divorce rates in this country at their highest, many men and women who are going through a divorce for the first time need to soak up some wisdom and hear advice that comes from other men and women who have gone through the same experience they may be going through right now. This weekend in Novi, Michigan, an interesting event is happening that looks to attract those who are either on the verge of filing for divorce, in the midst of going through a divorce, or have recently completed divorce proceedings. It is a two-day event that will feature a number of different presenters and much-needed resources. Whose idea was it to put on such an event to help those whose marriage did not work out? One of the producers of this event is named Juice Allard, and tonight, Mr. Allard is going to explain to me in detail why he and fellow producer Christine McQueen decided to put on the Divorce Expo in Michigan, as he chooses to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this me, Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. What's love but a second-hand emotion?
Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, March 22nd, and hey, I missed you guys. It's been 2 weeks since I last talked to you. Last Thursday, I was in Las Vegas participating in a men's dating conference, and it was an interesting experience. It was basically the same event that I participated in London in November 2010. It's called the Direct Dating Summit. This one was a little different. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'll just say it was a little different. Yeah, it was a little different. But now I'm back. I'm glad to be back. And the topic we're going to talk about tonight is not the most positive of topics, because I don't think anybody wants to go through a divorce. Nobody wants to go through a divorce. But, you know, the reality is a lot of us do. I've never been through a divorce because I've never been married. But a good number of my friends, I want to say at least probably 35 to 40%, maybe as many as 50% of my friends have actually been divorced at least once, some two, three, four times. I've got at least a handful of people that have been divorced three or more times in their life. Yeah, I've never been divorced, but there have been many people who have. But yes, what I found out from a guest actually on this show, if you remember, I had a guest named Michelle Talbert about, I want to say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and towards the end of the show, she mentioned that she was going to be attending something called the Divorce Expo, and I was like, what is that? I've never heard of that, and so she gave me more information on the Divorce Expo, and I decided to get in contact with one of the guys, one of the people who's producing it. And sure enough, that's who's going to be my guest tonight, is a guy who is the co-producer of the Divorce Expo. It's going to be held actually this Saturday and Sunday in Michigan, a city called Novi, N-O-V-I, Navi or Novi, Michigan, which is near Detroit. And, yeah, they're going to have a two-day event, and it should be interesting. That's going to be our discussion. I don't have any particular guests lined up for the next few weeks. I might be doing a few open forum discussions, and as you know me, you know, I tend to get guests on the fly. So right now, quite frankly, I don't have anybody booked per se, but I got some invitations out there, so I will keep you posted. Now, I love all my listeners, but I have special love for my chat room listeners who were patient just this evening, because I didn't have any sound. And now I do have sound. Here I have my most loyal listener in the chat room, and she's also in my phone queue. I have Adrian, a.k.a. Diva, 37, 24, 38, that's right, Diva. I'm always changing her measurements. I got Alex in my chat room. Now, you know, he goes to bed early. And, oh, shoot, Diva made me feel guilty. She said, you do know that. You know, she's the biggest Ohio State Buckeye. So that lets you know she's my number one listener. Because when the Miami Heat is playing, she'll call in. She'll still listen to the show. When Ohio State is playing, she'll still listen to the show. When the Cleveland Browns are playing, she'll still listen to the show. When she's having sex, nah, she ain't listening to the show. when she having sex, she ain't still listening to the show. Oh, man. I got Aaron, Steven, like, nah, when I'm fucking, you're my boy, but I ain't gonna be listening to your show while I'm fucking. I got Aaron, 2213, in my chat room. Not Asian Man USA, not White Man USA, but Black Man USA is in my chat room. Christian Davis in my chat room. Eddie Barbosa in my chat room, Glendon in my chat room, couple guests, Lord Lust in my chat room, and Nothing Six in my chat room. Yeah, other shout outs will be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Atherball Maplewood, New Jersey, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP 3, Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, all the women in my female supporters group, much love to you. Somebody asked me, why don't I want to talk about the direct dating stuff? It wasn't a bad time. I'm not going to even suggest it was a bad time, particularly when it comes to the connection of the guys who were there. The guys who paid money to be there that I spoke with, I liked just about all of them. There was one guy who was kind of an asshole. But all the guys who were there, they were pretty cool. I had good conversations with them, and I think they absorbed a lot of knowledge and wisdom from me. But I wasn't, you know me, I'm upfront and straightforward, so I don't bullshit. I wasn't feeling a lot of the speakers at this direct dating summit. I just was not feeling them. If you're familiar with the seduction community, you know there's basically, at minimum, two general factions of dating coaches. There's what I refer to as the indirect guys and the direct guys. That's why the name of the thing is the Direct Dating Summit. That's how that name came about, direct. Basically, in a nutshell, an indirect dating coach is a guy who teaches you how to get laid by pretending that you're not trying to get laid. If you teach guys how to get laid by basically pretending that you're not trying to get laid, that means you're an indirect guy. Whereas I'm a direct guy. I believe that when you want to get laid, you simply tell a woman you want to get laid. I mean, it ain't rocket science. When I want to fuck, I tell a woman I want to fuck. When I want to have casual sex, I tell a woman I want to have casual sex. When I want a threesome, I tell a woman I want to have a threesome. I don't bullshit. I don't play games. I don't lie. I don't do all that shit. And it wasn't too many guys like me there as far as speakers. At least no less than two-thirds of speakers there were indirect type guys. And I wasn't feeling that. I already told Sasha, so it's not like I'm talking about Sasha and his organization of this event behind his back. I told him directly. I wasn't feeling a lot of the guys that, well, I see your comment, Laura Lutz, and you're like some people. I know a lot of guys who feel like you, so I'm not going to say what your thought or your sentiments are not common. There was a guy who was there who said that. He said, I have no ethics when it comes to getting the pussy. But I ended up breaking him down because I said, you have no ethics at all. He said, no, I don't have any ethics when it comes to getting pussy. I said, so you would go out here right now and date rape a 13-year-old girl? And he paused and he said, of course, no, I wouldn't do that. I said, well, then you do have ethics then. You might not have the same ethics I do, but you do have ethics. I said, would you put a date rape drug in a woman's drink in order to fuck her? He was like, no, I wouldn't do that. I was like, why not? If you don't have any ethics, you know? I was like, would you get a woman sloppy drunk to fuck her? He was like, no. I was like, why not? If you don't have any ethics. You know, I hear guys, they say this shit like, you know, I'd do anything to get the pussy, but no, they won't. There's a handful of crazy motherfuckers out here that will do shit like that. But most guys have some degree of ethics. Again, they may not have the exact ethics as me, but they have some degree of ethics. And my personal ethics, and I'm not imposing my ethics on everybody, every man walking this earth. I know there's guys different than me. But my thing is, I'm not going to lie to a woman to get the pussy. I just don't do that. Even my good friend who calls into my show sometimes, Jason 69 Barnes, he challenged me on that one time. He said, "So, Alan, you wouldn't lie just to get a nice piece of ass." I said, "No." And he didn't believe me. I said, "I would rather tell a woman straightforwardly that all I want is a one-night stand, a weekend fling, and have her not give me the pussy, than to tell a woman that I want a long-term monogamous relationship, then fuck a woman two or three times over a few days and then just dump her. I would rather not get the pussy than to mislead a woman or lie to a woman to get the ass. That's how I operate. That's the basis of mode one. That's what it means to be, in my opinion, to be truly direct. Anything else is indirect bullshit. Now, I'm not saying indirect don't work. You can get laid being indirect. I would never say that you can't get laid being indirect. But I'm saying that for me, that's not how I operate. I ain't trying to play them type of games. You know, when ain't no woman walking this earth right now that can say, "Alan Roger Curry misled me. Alan Roger Curry made me think he wanted a long-term serious relationship when he really just wanted casual sex." Ain't no woman who can say that about me. And that makes me sleep better at night knowing that no woman. There's women who call me cocky, full of myself, egotistical, some other shit. So it ain't like I don't get I get criticized. But women cannot say, "Yeah, Alan lied to me," or "Alan played games with me." You know, I'm a upfront. Where do you think the title of my show comes from? That ain't just no random title. I didn't just arbitrarily pull those words out of nowhere. Upfront and straightforward. That's what I live by. That's like my personal credo, is upfront and straightforward. I don't fuck with people, man. You know? And so, you know, I'm not going to get, you know, I didn't mean to get on a soapbox, but yes, if I'm speaking frankly, I was disappointed in some of the speakers that were invited to this direct dating summit. They were not direct. They would call themselves direct or refer to themselves as direct, but, you know, when you listen to them talk, and it's not just my opinion either. There are a lot of guys I talked to who were paid members of this event that told me, when I talked to them one-on-one, that told me that they felt like I was the only real direct guy there. You know, a lot of these other guys, man, was using all that PUA jargon like Kino escalation and, you know, sub-communicating and all that bullshit. I don't use them bullshit terms, man. Anybody know me? No, I don't roll like that. I don't talk about that bullshit. That's pickup artist shit. I don't talk about pickup artist shit. I never referred to myself as a pickup artist, ever, ever. You will never hear me refer to myself as a pickup artist. That is not what I fucking do. But there was a lot of people who were pickup artist types. So enough about that. So, yeah, that's why I sound a little bit disappointed about how things went because, yeah, that was the thing I would say. If I have a criticism of this event, it was that it was too many pickup artist type guys there, man. And I ain't really feeling that shit. You know, I ain't about, again, I'm not about teaching guys how to get laid by pretending that they ain't trying to get laid. Yeah, I work with Sasha again. Matter of fact, Sasha invited me to work with him in Australia. And as of right now, I plan on going to Australia. So, Lord Lust, to answer your question for right now, I would say yes, I would work with Sasha. I mean, you know, I don't hold anything personally against Sasha. I mean, Sasha's a good guy, you know. It ain't like I was just disappointed that he chose to invite some of the people he chose. I mean, he said he's cool with these people. If he's cool with them, then that's on him, you know. But I think in some respects it goes against the name Direct Dating Summit. I mean, I heard that one guy actually tell the guys, he said, "Wait until after you fuck a woman to let her know that all you wanted was casual sex." That's what he actually told the guy. He said, wait until after you fuck him to let him know all you wanted was casual sex. That is not fucking direct. I would dare anybody to say that is. That is not fucking direct. That defeats the whole fucking purpose of Mode 1. Shit, any guy can do that. That don't take no balls. Any guy can lead a woman to believe that he's on the verge of being her boyfriend, that he really has genuine feelings for her, and then after he gets the pussy, he just stops calling, stops emailing it. Shit, where's the balls in that shit? Ain't no balls in that shit. It takes balls to tell a woman straight up that, hey, I ain't looking for nothing serious. I ain't looking for nothing long term. I just want to fuck. That's how the legend of Mode 1 was born. That's how the legend of Mode 1 was born. When I was in college, that's how I rolled. I told women straight up that all I wanted to do was fuck them. I didn't bullshit them. I told them straight up. All I wanted to do was fuck. I told them that I didn't want nothing long term. I didn't want nothing monogamous. You know, I tell guys straight up. I mean, I tell women straight up that all I want is, when I know my interest is just casual sex, I let women know that straight up. So anyway, y'all, see, now y'all got me into the soapbox. I'm going to end it right now. But yeah. So that basically sums up my feelings about this most recent direct dating summit. I would say again, no less than 2/3 of the other speakers, I was not feeling. They were just way too PUA type shit for me. You're right, Lord Lust. You said pussy versus honesty. That is a hard one for a lot of guys. Most guys' natural temptation is to lie to a woman. Most guys' natural temptation is to make a woman feel like they want something long-term and or monogamous until they get the pussy. And then they'll be honest. Like I said, that's what this one coach was telling the guys. He's telling guys to kind of be vague and ambiguous about your desires, interests, and intentions until you get the pussy, and then once you get the pussy, that's when you specifically tell women you're just looking for casual sex. See, that's what I call Mode 2. If anybody's read my book, that's Mode 2. That's Mode 2 behavior. Anytime you're being vague and ambiguous, what I mean by vague and ambiguous, you're not really specifically saying you just want casual sex, but you're not specifically saying that you don't. You're kind of somewhere right in the middle. That's Mode 2. Mode 3 would be when you just flat out lying. Mode 3 would be if you flat out lie and tell a woman you want a long-term relationship, long-term monogamous relationship, when you know you just want a one-night stand or weekend fling. That would be being Mode 3. Mode 2 is when you don't say you want a long-term monogamous relationship, but you also don't say you just want casual sex. Mode 1 is when you are very specific and straightforward with your desires and your intentions. And, you know, I'm repeating myself now, but again, there's just too many guys there at this two-day event. It was just a lot of indirect shit being taught, and I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it, and you can see it on my face. Most people, I didn't even have to tell them. You can see it on my face and in my body language during the event if you were there. Anybody who was there, all they had to do was look at me and be like, Alan, I can tell Alan ain't feeling a lot of these speakers. So many minutes after I listened to them, I tuned them out because they were talking about a bunch of bullshit, shit that I didn't agree with. Anyway, enough said on that. I am going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, we're going to get this conversation going. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So What can I tell you? I'm excited. I got like, I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep, and he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I ain't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and/or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at blogtalkradioadvertising@mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest for the evening is a seasoned business executive with over 25 years in business, IT, and partner management involvement. In addition to producing the upcoming Divorce Expo, my guest runs Alanova LLC, a consulting firm. And he's also a principal in Split Partners, LLC. He is an active committee member of the Association of Strategic Alliance Professionals. And during his 20-plus year Army career, he actively
He was actively engaged in the military and civilian communities. As a senior spouse, he volunteered for leadership positions in a wide variety of charitable and community-focused organizations. He's been divorced since 2009, and he's here to talk about what this event is and how it will benefit those who attend. So, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Mr. Yost Allard. How's it going, Mr. Allard?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Yes, it's interesting because I was interviewing another guest, about 4 weeks ago. Her name is Michelle Talbert, and she wrote a book to do with online dating. And towards the end of the show, she mentioned that she was going to be attending this event called the Divorce Expo. And I was like, get out of here. What is that? I had never heard of an event of that nature. So I asked her a couple of questions during the show, and then after the show, she said, I'm going to put you in contact, actually, with one of the people who puts it on. And, you know, you said the rest is history. So I guess first question would be, what made you and your fellow producer, I want to say her name is Christine McQueen.
That's correct.
Yeah, what made you two come up with this event, the Divorce Expo?
Well, really, when you look back at it, it's really simple. When I was going through my divorce, it was not an easy process, as it is for many people. And certainly the aftermath, how do you get back on your feet and move forward and rebuild that life that you once had, was a real struggle. And so Christine was a friend of mine at that time, and she was observing. She was really supportive. She was observing what I was going through. And at some point she asked, so is there nobody after your attorney is done, is there nobody you can turn to help you with maybe getting a new budget together, figuring out how you can save for retirement on your new income that you have, which is in many cases reduced from what it was. Are there people out there that can help you sort of deal with the stress and the emotions that you still are working through? And I had to say, they may be out there, but I don't know. And so the visionary that she is, she said, we need to start a company, because if you have that kind of a trouble on a day-to-day basis working through this, there must be hundreds and thousands of people out there that have that same challenge. And we should start a company that will help those people get through that quicker and more effectively than what they can do on their own. And so that's initially how we started with this company that you mentioned, Split Partners. We call it a concierge services company. I'm sorry, a divorce concierge company. And so all we do is really sit down with people and put a plan together, tell them these are the different things that you should be taking care of. And if you don't know where to turn, we have a network of folks that we've selected and qualified that understand what you're going through, and they will be able to help you. They are experts in their fields, but they're not just a financial advisor or an attorney or anything like that, maybe a parenting advisor. A lot of people are dealing with parenting issues after divorce. But they are dedicated to helping people in your situation. So we are building a network of those types of people that we can refer people to with a level of comfort and trust that they will take care of our clients and people that are going through divorce or have gone through divorce. But that's how this came about. And from there, we said one client at a time is not fast enough. So we need to do something like an expo where we can have a lot of people come together, listen to a lot of different experts at one time and reach a lot more people to have that effect of finding direction in your life. And whether it's starting over or whether it's keeping your relationship in good shape or keeping it together, it's all good. We have seminars and so on for all of those things because it's about relationships. It's not about wanting to get a divorce and let's help you do that. It's about getting your relationship in good shape, whether it's your current one or your next one.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, so at this expo, well, first of all, I might have just missed it. How many years, when did this start?
The Divorce Expo?
Yes.
This Divorce Expo in the Detroit area is the first one of its kind here.
Okay.
We are aware of, there are a few more that have been organized in other places, but in Detroit, it is the first one. And so it's we're really breaking new ground with this.
So do your speakers and other people there at the expo. Now, when I hear the word expo, I think of a facility where you see a lot of booths of different vendors, and then like maybe on some main stage, you might have one speaker. What is the setup at your expo?
We've done it a little different. We do have exhibitors or vendors, however you want to call them. We try to keep it as diverse as possible. We don't want this just to be an occasion where lawyers can find new clients, for instance. So we have a lot of different types of exhibitors. But in addition to that, we have four different rooms with ongoing seminars. And in addition to that, we have what we call our connection stage, which is basically reserved for some keynote speakers, so people that are experts in their field that we want everybody to hear. And then in addition to that, we have ongoing panel discussions. And the panels are, you know, made up of different people, different topics. We have an experts panel. We have a women's only panel, so where women can talk about their experience with going through the divorce and maybe how they dealt with the first this or that experience after their divorce. And we have a men's panel. We have a number of different things like that. So it's really a smorgasbord of offerings that people can make use of all in one place. And that's really the unique aspect of it. We've brought a lot of different things in one place where people are normally not able to get that in one place.
Okay. So this is interesting. So how many people would you say you anticipate having this weekend?
You know, that's a tough question to ask because, of course, it is the first one in Detroit. Based on the response that I've gotten in terms of people calling in and finding out where the show was held, people asking me what is the program about, when should I come because I'm only interested in specific issues, we certainly expect a great turnout. Meaning for this first one, we're hoping that we will reach anywhere close to 1,000 people coming in that one place together per weekend, for the whole weekend, possibly even on a given day. And that would be a tremendous turnout because that proves to the community that there's a need for this type of approach.
Okay. Now, how long, if you don't mind me asking, how long were you married?
I want to say it was close to 21 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
That is a long time. But unfortunately, you know, the number of people that I speak with that end up getting divorced for a multitude of reasons, when they're in the late 40s, early 50s maybe, is significant, and actually I think it is growing. So it is a problem among sort of the late baby boomers that maybe are realizing there's something else they want to do, and they want to do it on their own. It's sad. It's a sad situation, but it, that seems to be a trend.
Now, some people say that right now, I don't know the exact statistics, but that the divorce rate is at the highest it's ever been. What, just based on your own observations and experiences, why do you think divorce has increased so much? What do you think is at the root of the problem?
Yeah, there are different perspectives on whether it's increasing and what causes that. Based on what I'm hearing, I guess I see two trends. I see both older people, and I mentioned in their 50s, divorcing, and then on the other hand, I see people in their 20s divorcing. And I think there are two different reasons for that. But the increase, the overall increase in divorce rates over the last two or so years has been caused, I think, by the fact that in some parts of the country, the economy is getting better again, and those people that have in the 2008 to 9 period have decided to hold off on getting a divorce because their personal economic situation wasn't all that great and maybe a little bit iffy where things would go. They are now more comfortable, and instead of having taken the time to work on their relationship and maybe realize or find out what was sort of causing the friction and working on that, they haven't done anything like that, and they've now decided the time is right to get a divorce. So to me, that's sort of a sad statistic, if you will. On the other hand, with the younger generation, I think it may be somewhat influenced by, you know, the things that we all overall are seeing is sort of the quicker turnover, the quicker sort of, oh, I'm done with that, I want to try that. Unfortunately, when you have that sort of mindset, that culture that slips in, I think that may be translating into their relationships as well, in terms of, well, I thought that was it, but it wasn't good. I'm going to try something else. And that's very unfortunate, because really the commitment to a relationship for a life partner or a marital relationship should be something serious that you continue to work on and not, you know, give it a try and I'll try something different when it doesn't seem to be working out for me.
Now, this, what I'm trying to think is, like, expos, I'm thinking most expos I've been to, you know, I already mentioned they have vendors, but mm-hmm. some of them have sponsors. who would be somebody that would sponsor something like a divorce expo?
You know, that's a very good question, and I think we're at the beginning of having people realize that associating with events that are dealing with these types of issues is actually a good thing. But obviously they could be somewhat different than the traditional companies that you would think of. I had somebody calling in today that said when I go to a another event about maybe a disease or something like that. There are all kinds of sponsors around, and in fact, the event is free to attend. And we don't have that luxury at the beginning stage where we are, but I would say companies that, you know, for one thing, the things that you need when you are getting divorced, you need to find new health insurance. You need to find maybe a solution to getting rid of your house or finding a new housing situation. Companies that take care of that, that offer services in that sense, they should be sponsors to this. Companies that are maybe in the health and wellness area, taking care of your physical but also your mental, emotional well-being, things like spas, things like maybe even cosmetic surgery type of things, or weight loss type of programs. You know, there's a statistic out there that 40% of people that are that are just done with their divorce turn to a weight loss program because they want to do something about their self-image, and in this case, it would be their weight situation. Their appearance is important to them. So if you're in the business of helping people improve their appearance and thereby their self-confidence, you could be a very well-fitting sponsor for this type of event.
Now, do you anticipate an equal number of men or women, or does it tend to lean towards, has your response been bigger from one gender over the other?
That's a very interesting question, and we've been wondering about that ourselves. And one thing that we are doing is constantly sort of monitoring things like our Facebook conversations, some of the statistics of who's following us, who's talking about it, and so on. And what we're seeing is really sort of a confirmation of our gut feeling that we had when we started planning this. We think that this weekend we will see probably two-thirds to three-quarters of our attendees being women, and about a third of our attendees will be men. That reflects the calls that I've gotten, that reflects other statistics, and I think it's also logical in a way because, for one thing, women are more of the they have more of a multitude of needs when they come out of their divorce, simply because in many situations they've let the husband take care of maybe the finances or they stayed home and they did not have a career, so they're faced with all these very basic practical issues. So they want to know what to do about it. And when you are a woman, I think it's easier to talk about it with a friend or two friends and then go to the expo with a friend or two friends. So right away you have a larger number of women that are attending the expo. Guys, you're a guy, I'm a guy, we all know that we are supposed to handle things ourselves. And we're sort of more private about what are we struggling with. And so I think guys are generally a little bit more hesitant to come to this kind of public event, which is really unfortunate because in the end a relationship exists between two people, and most of the time it will be a man and a woman. So, this expo is really for both genders equally. Both genders can benefit from the information that we're spreading and offering, as well as from the talking to the vendors, obviously, whether it's one-on-one and free consultations or in general talk as they peruse what the services are that are being offered.
Okay. Listeners, if you have a question or a comment related to the upcoming Divorce Expo and the conversation that's going on right now, you can call in to 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. Right now, I'm going to take a brief intermission break and let my guests get a swig of water, but I will be back in about four and a half minutes. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously Lee. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored 2, presented by Bang. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist. I'm in love with
a This is Alexandra Katahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
Ain't a little wet behind the ears to be running your mouth for. You don't really want me to run in your house.
Episodes of The Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Now return to my interview with the Divorce Expo producer, Juice Allard, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, welcome back. You actually heard an improper pronunciation on that. I said juice almost like orange juice with a T, but it's actually toast with a Y. It's Yost Allard, not juiced. Yeah.
That's right, Alan. You're okay. That's quite all right. It happens to me a lot, actually.
And what we're discussing, if you're just tuning in, is an event that's going to happen this Saturday and Sunday called the Divorce Expo. Divorce Expo. And it's in, now how do you pronounce the name? Is Navi or Novi?
They actually pronounce it Novi over here.
Novi, Michigan. And that's near Detroit, right?
Yeah, it's one of the suburbs of Detroit. It's northwest of downtown Detroit.
Okay. Okay, yes. And, so we've been talking about the Divorce Expo, and if you could briefly give me, I know you've kind of given me generally what's happening, but like let's say Saturday, give me a few of is there any specific highlighted activities that might happen on Saturday at this event?
Well, we've got some interesting keynote speakers. We actually had recently gotten confirmation that our opening keynote speaker is a circuit court judge in the family law court. So this is really a coup for the Divorce Expo because, you know, who can get a sitting judge to come out and talk about her vision, her perspective on what's going on with parenting and custody issues and that type of thing. So that we're really pleased with that. And that should be a pretty good crowd drawer. And then we have a number of different seminars. Whether you're talking about, legal issues, whether you're talking about finance, there's talk about how to straighten out your finances when you get started again, how to take care of yourself. We have a cosmetic dentist. We talked about appearance before the break.
That's curious to me. What's with the major emphasis on appearance?
We're not focusing on people needing to get all kinds of makeovers and cosmetic surgery. But the fact is that people are in an emotional state where they want to be good, making themselves feel better. And, the first and easiest way to do that, rather than looking inside yourself, is looking on the outside. And so a lot of people seem to turn to things like weight loss, things like all kinds of, you know, changes to physical appearance. And it could be as simple as getting a new wardrobe. But there are also important things like how do you recognize and take care of what stress is doing to your body. Stress is a big, big risk to your body where it basically wears you out a lot quicker than necessary physically. So it's bad for your heart, it's bad for your skin, and all kinds of other effects. So we want people to be aware of that and to, realize that for themselves, recognize when they are under a stressful situation know that they need to take care of themselves, and that's really all we're trying to do. We're not trying to stimulate people running out and getting, cosmetic makeovers or anything like that. That's up to them to decide to do. But there are some basic health-related issues that people should be aware of.
Mm-hmm. What's based on what people you may have talked to? What are some of the worst kind of scenarios you've seen after divorce? Like, I don't know, an extreme example would be maybe a man or woman who was so distraught that they wanted to commit suicide because the divorce was just that painful. Have you heard that type of feedback, or what would be two or three examples that are common on the very negative end of going through a divorce?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Alan. I'm in a way, I'm not glad you're asking me that because those are really sad situations that everybody would rather forget than to talk about. But the reality is that these things happen, and you touched on the ultimate in terms of a death. What I have been seeing in the latter part of last year. All of a sudden, almost a weekly report from different parts of the country where it seems to be the dads getting so upset about the fact that the court awards custody to the kids, to the spouse, the female, and severely restricts access by the dad. And more sad than what you mentioned, it seems that guys at that point maybe almost think that, well, if I can't have access to the kid, my ex-spouse won't get access either. So rather than simply seeing a murder, you're seeing a suicide murder, or rather the other way around, a murder of the kid first and then a suicide over the fact that, you know, this is the end of my life, I don't want to live anymore. Those are really sad situations. And, you know, luckily they're extreme situations, but, you know, there's all kinds of sadness that comes out of the way we're processing through divorce today. And it's just different things like people having to declare bankruptcy because they couldn't figure a way to amicably come to an agreement of how to divide and then move on. And they had to work with lawyers, and whether the lawyer was, really adversarial and pushing things to the edge, or just following procedure, we all know that working through lawyers is an expensive proposition. And so, more often than not, I hear of horror stories of people basically losing everything that they've built up over 10, 20, 30 years, just because they had to go through the legal process. And those are really sad situations because when you're, 45, 50, it's very hard to start over. And certainly it's very hard to get your savings back up to a level where you can retire and enjoy the last period in your life that you're supposed to be enjoying. So those are some examples of really where divorce, as we do it today, has a really significant negative impact, in my opinion.
Okay. Listeners, again, if you have a question or comment for my guests, please call in 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. Now, one of my chat room listeners, he was making a comment that he feels, and of course I'm sure a lot of men feel like this, that women in most divorces, not maybe all, but most, they come out on the longer end of the stick. They get, property that they didn't have before. They get custody of the kids. Do you think many divorces are unfair to men?
Well, I'm not inside the system as such, and I can't really speak to whether the individual case was fair or not fair. What I do observe is that there seems to be a general maybe opportunity for bias in the system to make sure that women are not negatively impacted do get the child support and maybe the spousal support and maybe they do get a little bit more than what seems fair in terms of property or something like that. And, if that happens, if there are good reasons for it that I can't judge that, but that then you, there's nothing really that you can say about that. But it seems like there are a number of cases that I've heard where there might be a little bit of a bias towards the woman instead of a 50-50 as equal as possible division of assets or certainly of time with kids and so on. There are several people also speaking at our event that have specific thoughts about this and just in general about how the system works. And they would advocate that other approaches would make a lot more sense. Two things that come to mind that we will be talking about during the event. One approach is called collaborative divorce, and the other approach is called mediation. And this is different than the court-appointed mediator that some people may be familiar with, but a mediator that you go to initiate the process, who is not affiliated with the court, and so can work with both of you to work out something that is agreeable to both without the court having to make decisions for you. So the general idea, I guess, that's suggested is that you try to resolve as many of the issues yourself, maybe with the help of a lawyer or maybe a paralegal or maybe even just a counselor, trained mediator, to come up with a solution that both of you can live with, that is fair, and then present that to the court for approval, rather than asking the court to come up with the solution, because then you have to live with what the court decides, and they may not know all the answers or know all the facts, and that in itself may make it look less fair than it could have been.
Okay, so then, you know, that almost seems like a oxymoron to say a collaborative divorce.
Yeah, it is. Right. It is. But you know what? The main thing that we're trying to get across is that when you are thinking of divorce, you need to think about the long term. So it takes collaboration to think about what is good for not only you and me, but also for our children if we have them, for the long term in terms of when we should separate. What's going to happen to the kids? How do we parent together? Because you may be giving up your intimate relationship, but you can never give up your parent relationship. So the kids that you had together need to be parented together, and you need to collaborate on coming up with a solution for that, whether it's just the parenting or whether it's who's going to save for their college or for, you know, other things that they may need. How do we make sure that they still grow up to be balanced and productive citizens down the road, as opposed to a statistic of a split family where there's only one parent in the picture?
Now, how did you and Christine first come to collaborate?
I'm sorry, repeat the question, please, Alan.
Christine McQueen, your co-producer, how did you...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if you said this at the beginning, I'm sorry I missed it, but how did you two first meet?
Well, we were at a couple of different business networking functions that are held in town. She was an entrepreneur, and I was working with my Alanova business, and... So we got to know each other and appreciated sort of the entrepreneurial spirit. So we stayed in touch, and at some point my divorce started, and she was somebody that showed understanding and empathy, and possibly had experience with helping other people, friends of hers, through this kind of process before, and so I started leaning on her a little bit because, you know, anytime you go through a divorce, you're looking for at least one or two friends to turn to talk about it and sort of get the experience processed, and so we started being friends, and eventually we tried to do some projects together, and one thing led to another, where we are now not just business partners, but also partners in a household.
Oh wow!
So,
okay.
So it's evolved quite well, and I think we're both pretty pleased with where we are at the moment.
Uh-huh. Now, I was seeing that, or maybe I read it wrong. Seemed like on Saturday it gets started very early, but on Sunday it gets started in the evening. Is that true?
No, we start at the same time both days. So it's about 10:30 in the morning, and we go until about 6:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was
yard.
Wait, I'm losing your voice for some reason. Is there something going on with your phone?
Not that I can tell.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I got a caller. 678, okay. Area code 678. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, Yost Allen. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Is this my man, Cedric?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hey,
how are you?
Cedric, how you doing? What's your question for Mr. Allard or comment related to this discussion and this expo coming up?
Well, Mr. Allard, I appreciate you doing your show, doing the divorce expo and everything, but I was just real curious, like in the expo that you guys have organized, do you actually, as a part of the workshops and services that you provide, do you also provide services for men in order to coach them through the divorce process, particularly where women have been abusive or set them up in the situation of marriage and are potentially using them?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and that's a topic that, frankly, we are touching on, but we are this time not doing an explicit workshop on how to deal with that as a man or even as a woman. How do you sort of get retreat from that after that sort of incident has happened? It's a very good topic, and in fact, we were discussing that today as we are planning to have our next show. In fact, two shows, one next year in Michigan and one where we've gotten requests from a couple of different cities around the country to come and put on an event there. It is a very important topic, and I can only say that, you know, it's very unfortunate from being a man, from the man's perspective, that we cannot deal with that type of topic at this time. And it's basically a coordination, an organizational issue. We have put so many seminars and so many different topics in this one weekend that we just can't deal with more topics. But I will.
Well, isn't it, not to interrupt you, but on that particular point, isn't it a much more needed service for men who are generally put in positions where if a man is living in a domestically violent household and he has mm-hmm. children and he fears for his children, it's not like, you know, he has shelters that he can go to in order to get help. Usually he can't get restraining orders. Oftentimes he can't leave his home because if he leaves his home, then he winds up being considered abandoning his family. So then he can't actually afford to take care of himself and pay the mortgage on his house and pay child support and things like that. So I think that when you really look at the overall system, and I don't know, I'm assuming that because you're an expert and that you have all of these different expos and everything, I'm assuming you're aware of these type of points that I'm bringing up. So if, from what I understand statistically, it's primarily women in the majority who actually initiate the divorce proceeding. And if that's the case, there has to be a reason why, number one, and when you look at the overall division of wealth, it's usually the women, whether they've been abusive to the man or the children, or whether they work or not, it's usually the women who come out on top, and men oftentimes wind up with more than 50% of their incomes relegated to the woman and the child until she either marries someone else or until at which time she dies. I think we live in a society due to feminism that's sort of slanted towards, you know, taking care of women, regardless of whether or not the woman is a good mother, regardless of whether or not she's fair and equitable with her spouse, regardless of how she conducts herself. The court seems to be slanted in that direction. So in my way of thinking, it seems like the men need that kind of service a lot more than the type of services that are traditionally offered to women to kind of pat their backs and make them feel good. It seems like everybody's offering those kinds of services. So how do you stand out as somebody who is supposedly helping a man and a woman in a marital dispute equitably?
It is a very good topic. It's a very good topic, and we touched on this. Just earlier, where we talked about the fairness of the outcome of a divorce. This is an issue that I think is more complex than certainly a first-time event as we're organizing it can effectively deal with. It would be something that one organization could probably not deal with on its own. It's something that needs to be addressed.
Let me ask you this then. You say this is your first time event, and I understand that events evolve as they find needs to be. So as somebody who has gone through the experience that you've spoken of already, how would you recommend, or what would you recommend is the most powerful way that a man could determine whether or not he's about to marry a woman who is a decent woman to marry? I'm trying to a little bit into Alan's Mo 1 ethic or philosophy. I believe by being honest with women that you can avoid those kind of manipulators. But I'm wondering from your point of view, what would you recommend is, say, your top three considerations that a man should be looking for in a potential spouse so that he can avoid divorce?
Well, I could say that is different for every person, but there are probably some common components. I think, first of all, what it takes is to understand who you are as a person yourself and your strengths and weaknesses and your personality. And then, understand how you can... I'm really struggling a little bit to give you a short answer with this. This is really a very complex issue, and I understand dating is part of the show and the topic of the show normally, but dating is a very personal aspect of life and trying to find a life partner. We have some seminars that deal with that show you how to determine sort of a more compatible partner with you, but I would have to say that the sort of on an individual basis that is really dependent on your character, the potential partner's character, and that's not something that I at this point can give you the top 1, 2, 3 things to look for in a person. Obviously, you want to try to determine that a person is, has a good level of moral standards. Maybe you're looking for education level, but really you want somebody that, in the end, demonstrate a level of sort of honesty and loyalty and so on and dedication to the relationship. And that is something that
you've been divorced, right?
Right. Yes.
So, what would you do differently? What would you looking back on your divorce process? Whether it was, I don't imagine anybody go through a divorce process and comes out saying, "Oh, it was wonderful." But looking back on your divorce process, what do you wish you had have done to take care of yourself?
Well, I think the main thing that I would recommend people do is to reflect on how well they communicate with their spouse or their partner, whether it's at a sort of a rational level, a planning level, or whether it's at a sort of an intimate level. And communicating, obviously, is something that gets done verbally or physically and so on. So we're talking about covering all the bases, including, sexuality and so on. You have to make sure that you learn to understand who you are, what your needs are, and what your partner's needs and wishes are, and be able to ricochet between that. So both of you have room to develop your own talents, but also to get your needs met. And so that's something that I would recommend that anybody on an ongoing basis reflect on and practice. And if you need help with that, there are obviously a lot of different sort of services or people that can help you with that, whether it's a life coach or a sex therapist or anything like that. That's what I would say is the main thing to do, because that's really what is at the foundation of a relationship is the communication and learning how to understand that communication so that you understand each other and each other's needs.
Okay, well, Alan, I don't want to jack up your interview and everything, so I guess I will end it here in terms of my questions and everything.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Cedric, as always. And, yeah, those are good questions.
Good
you discussion. Asked.
I appreciate your questions, Cedric. I really appreciate the questions, and they're very to the point. And I certainly will take the perspective of putting more emphasis on the needs for the male perspective in this whole process and the challenges that that males have as they are in a relationship or in a divorce situation. Take that back and certainly incorporate that in planning for our programs for the next events. If you prefer to or if you're interested in sharing some more of your thoughts on that, I'd be open to have a further conversation with you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping it up. Just tell my listening audience again the specific details like when, where, and where my listeners can find out more information on the World Wide Web about this event.
I'd be happy to do that, Alan. So the event takes place Saturday and Sunday, this coming Saturday and Sunday, March 24 and 25. It'll be at the Novi Middle School in Novi. It'll run from 10:30 in the morning till about 6:30 in the afternoon. We'll have ongoing seminars in four different rooms, as well as keynote speakers and panel discussions in our auditorium. We'll have a selection of exhibitors that are both talking about their services as well as are available to sit down with attendees one-on-one to maybe answer some questions. We'll have another Blog Talk radio station there to do live interviews. Divorce Source Radio will be there all Saturday and a portion of the Sunday as well. Then in addition to that, it doesn't have to all be serious, and this talk has been generally serious in nature, whereas I know you're normally doing more sort of lighthearted topics about dating and so on. We also have a dating event on Saturday night. We want you to come out and join us at the Lucky Strike in Novi again and participate in our singles mixer. Divorced parents, single parents, you're welcome to come out. We have a wonderful live performance by Terry Radigan, a singer-songwriter from New York, who's flying over specifically for this event, and she'll be singing from her new album. So we've got a lot going on this weekend, and there's something for everybody. So come on out and learn something and party in the evening as well. And we'll be there all day if you want to talk to us as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Yost, and good luck with your expo. And I would love to speak to some of the people who attended the expo in the future to find out what their thoughts were and how they felt the expo benefited them. Until then, just continued success to you. And
thank you very much,
Alan.
Thanks for the opportunity. And we'll do our best to find a few people that might be willing to do that, and I'll put them in touch with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Join me next week, listeners. I don't know if I have a specific guest on next week. It's probably going to be an open forum discussion. I'll keep you posted on the internet. But until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Go Bowman High School in the Indiana State High School Boys Basketball Championship. That's what I'm rooting for, and I hope they win their second state championship in 3 years. Take care, everybody.